You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing our Proverbs series, and you know, it's the beginning of a new year. We're a few days into this new year, and I know many of us are taking some time to think about our goals for this new year. We're setting into motion some new routines, some new habits for the new year. I think that's great. And here's what we've been saying for the past few weeks. I want to encourage you, put spiritual growth at the very top of your list. You want to have a great year in the year ahead. You want to see your life get better in every way. Then prioritize your relationship with God. Prioritize your spiritual health, and you will see it affect every area of your life. Your relationships, if you're married, your marriage, if you're a parent, your parenting, the way you handle stress, the decisions you make, the financial decisions you make. I believe every sphere of your life, all of the different things that we think about this time of year, how we want to see our lives improve, I believe every area of your life will be impacted if you grow spiritually and you grow closer to God. And so that's our goal together as a church for the new year. And what we're doing a few different things to go on this endeavor together. First of all, we're in the midst of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and hope you're going strong. What we're doing is over the next 2 weeks, we started this last week, we're being intentional about setting aside some time for prayer. Many of us are fasting. I've been so encouraged to hear about all the different ways that people are fasting. Some people are doing the Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables, very healthy as well. Great way to kind of cleanse the soul and your body. Some people are skipping a meal a day. Some people are fasting like sugar and junk food. I like to do the 24-hour fast. I've heard some people doing that, go from dinner to dinner. Some people are fasting social media and TV. So I just want to encourage you, keep going strong. We got two more weeks that we just really want to be purposeful about this. If you fell off the horse this weekend, get back on. We're all going to encourage each other. Come on, find somebody in your life group or on a team that you serve on, a friend, and encourage them to keep going strong. We're also in this series on Proverbs. We're studying and teaching through the book of Proverbs together. One of the great things about Proverbs is it's got 31 chapters, so it matches the calendar. So you can read a proverb a day. Today is the 13th. So today you can go home and read Proverbs chapter 13. Or tomorrow, start with us, Proverbs chapter 14. Open up your Bible or the Bible app on your phone. We've been doing this with our kids. It's just a great way to jumpstart your Bible reading habit for the year. And so I just want to encourage you, let's keep going strong. Let's set a strong spiritual foundation. You know, speaking of Proverbs, you and I, we live in an amazing time, don't we? We live in the information age. We can Google anything. There is no limit to the access of information that's out there. And as we do so, we find that there are different opinions and different voices on every subject. There's no shortage of people who proclaim to be life coach experts who can help you live your best life. But you and me, we need wisdom that has stood the test of time, don't we? Come on, nobody has time for bad advice. We all need sound advice that can lay a strong foundation that we can build our lives on. And that's what we're after in this Proverbs series. We're going to prioritize the wisdom of God, the wisdom that has been passed down to us by the people of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as we read the book of Proverbs, one of the things we notice is that the writers use plenty of metaphors and analogies, lots of comparisons. How many of you are noticing that as you're reading the book of Proverbs? Lots of comparisons, right? It's kind of the go-to literary device of the writers of the book of Proverbs. And one of the recurring images that we see all throughout Proverbs is that of the path. The recurring image of the path, this idea that following the way of wisdom is to follow a path, that wisdom literally guides the path of our lives. It helps us stay on the right path, the straight path, the path of righteousness. And don't we all need that? Isn't that what we want? We want to have wisdom that's guiding our lives. Well, speaking of paths and directions, how many of you are thankful for the GPS that you have on your smartphone? You know, the iPhone map or the Google map. Some of y'all like clapping like, yeah, I used to get lost all the time. I live and die by my smartphone apps, right? Yeah. I mean, what did we ever do before we had smartphones? Before we had like GPSs in our pockets? In fact, I was talking to my oldest son, Aaron, about this just the other day. I was telling him about growing up in the 80s, like before we even had the internet, like his mind was just blown. You know, and I was like, yeah, like we used to have to ask people for directions. And then when the internet came online, remember we started printing directions? Remember that? Like MapQuest, you'd print these long directions. But I told him, like, before we had all that, he was like, well, what did you do? I was like, you had to ask people for directions. And he was like, well, what if somebody gave you the wrong directions? I'm like, you got lost. And then you had to stop at a gas station and ask somebody else for directions, right? And I told him, I was like, that was just kind of the system back then. Like, that's what we all did. We all had to help each other because that was the only system that there was, right? There were no smartphones. But I have a theory that women got together and created GPS. I'm serious. Because they were tired of their husbands and significant others getting lost and not asking for directions. So they got together and they created GPS. Come on, ladies. Have you had this happen to you before? I mean, you know, it's just a guy thing, right? It's just part of our pride. Like, we do not want to stop and ask directions for anything. You know, a guy will take like a wrong turn, you know, and this happens, right? Like, you know, a guy takes a wrong turn. And what do you say, ladies? Honey, I think you took the wrong turn. And what do guys say? Leave me alone. I'm in full control. I've got this, right? I'll do the driving, right? Like, you just sit back and relax. I've got this. Come on, ladies. Have you had this experience? And guys will drive in the wrong direction for like miles before they stop and admit like they're going in the wrong direction. It's like we lose points off our man card or something if we have to ask. Like, we just don't want to do it. And so, you know, have you ever noticed, guys, men, I'm talking to you for a minute. Have you ever noticed that it's always a woman's voice on the GPS? You ever notice that? I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy. Women got together to create GPS. I have never heard a man's voice on GPS. It's always a little lady telling you what to do. And the women are sitting back snickering as she says, make a left here, and you make a left, guys. And she tells you, make a right, turn here, and you make a right, huh? You make a bad turn, she reroutes you. She says, no, you went the wrong way, turn this way. It used to be a fight back in the day. Now you just listen to her, you reroute and do whatever she tells you to do. And women all across the planet are snickering like, yes, we have achieved victory. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure it's a conspiracy. But sometimes we all need a little direction in our lives, don't we? In fact, best-selling author and pastor Andy Stanley put it this way. He said, decisions determine direction, and direction determines destination. Think about that for a moment. The decisions you make determine your direction, and your direction determines your destination, where you end up in life. Isn't that true? As you think about that this morning, I mean, think about where you are in life, your current situation, where you live, where you work, like your situation in life, and reverse engineer it. Like, you made some decisions to get you where you are right now, right? I mean, there are some things beyond our control. I understand that. Life has a way of imposing its will on us sometimes. But for the most part, like, we made decisions, right, that determined our direction, that got us to our present destination. And I think most of us have like some idea in mind of where we want to end up. We have some idea of our preferred destination, like where, what we would like life to look like, where we want to end up. We have some goals, you know, for what life might look like, what kind of job we might have, what kind of home we might live in, what kind of relationship we might have. But the problem is that many of us make daily decisions that take us in a different direction than where we want to end up. And there's this frustration that sets in. There's this tension that sets in. And it's the difference we feel between where we want to end up and the decisions that we're making on a daily basis. I mean, maybe, you know, you want to get in shape this year. You want to lose some weight. Like, the destination is health. But the problem is you're having trouble making the decision every day to get up off the couch and stop watching Netflix and actually go to the gym, right? Like, you're having trouble making the right decisions every day about the kind of food that you eat. Or maybe you want to save some money, like you want to save some money for retirement or invest some money. But the problem is it's just hard to curb your daily spending habits. There's a disconnect between your daily decisions and the direction you're going and the destination of where you want to end up. And so frustration can begin to set in. And sometimes all of us need to make some course corrections, don't we? We got to make some course corrections. I mean, the new year, you can do that any time of year. The new year just happens to be a good time of year to make some course corrections so that our decisions actually align with the direction we want to go in so we can get to our preferred destination, preferably the destination that God has for us. As Christians, if you're a follower of Christ, hopefully your heart's desire is that your will would line up with God's will and that where you end up would ultimately be directed by Him. And so here's what the writers of Proverbs tell us, Solomon and all these other wise men and women of God. Here's what they tell us, that wisdom actually helps us do that. pursuing wisdom, pursuing godly wisdom, it actually helps us make better decisions so that we can get in the direction we want to go in, so that we can end up at the right destination. And so here's what we find in Proverbs chapter 3. King Solomon actually talks about this very thing. He starts by reminding the reader of the destination. Look at this description of in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." See, here King Solomon, he describes the destination. Look at this. In verse 2, he says, "A life of peace and prosperity." In verse 4, he says, "You'll find, if you pursue wisdom, you'll find favor with God and the people in our lives." Isn't this what we want? We want to live a blessed life, don't we? We want the blessing of God in our lives. We want the peace of God in our lives. We want to live with a sense that we have God's favor and favor with the people around us who matter to us. That's the destination. That's the direction that we want to get going in. And you know, we said last week that we got to keep the rewards of wisdom in front of us, right? Because disciplines don't motivate us, but the rewards of wisdom inspire the pursuit of wisdom. Yeah, there are some disciplines, some things we have to do, but disciplines in and of themselves, they're not fun. We don't naturally like them. They don't motivate us, but if you'll keep the reward, the blessing in front of you, it will motivate you. And so sometimes you got to keep the destination in front of you. And so the destination is exactly what we just read. It's a blessed life. It's a life well lived. The question is, how do we make the right decisions to get there? Because isn't that what we want? I think there's one thing we all have in common. Don't we want to live well? How many of you want to live well? Come on, you want to be able to look at your life and say, I've lived a life of wisdom. All right, three of you. I'm praying for the rest of you that you get a little more inspired to say, I lived a good life. Like, I lived well. I lived with wisdom. That's the goal. But the question is, how do we make the daily decisions to get there? Well, Solomon gives us an answer to that. He gives us a little more wisdom. Let's keep going. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Maybe you'll recognize these famous words. He says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him." Some translations say, "Acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." So King Solomon tells us that this life of wisdom, it actually starts with trust. Everybody say trust. It starts with trust. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." We've got to trust him with all of our heart. Now, how many of you in here, you would say, "I trust God"? You don't have to raise your hand, but you would say, "I trust God." Like, yeah, I have faith in God. I trust God. Come on, we're Americans. It's on our currency, for crying out loud. In God we trust. This is downright American, right? Sure, I trust God. I'm an American. I think most of us would say that. I trust God. But do we really? My question is, do we really? Because I think if we're honest, we naturally find ourselves trusting in our way of doing things, our ability, our connections, our ability to make money, our ability to solve the problem, our talents, our problem-solving skills, like our way. We tend to trust. I think we naturally tend to gravitate toward doing things our way. And then sometimes we think of God's way later on. I don't know, maybe after our way has blown up in our face. You know, speaking of trust, I heard a story the other day about a guy who fell off the edge of a cliff, and he was holding on for dear life, and he yelled, "Is anybody up there?" And God answered and said, "Yes, I'm here." And he says, "Can you help me?" And God said, "Sure, I can help you. Do you trust me?" He says, "Yeah, I trust you." And God said, "Then let go." He thought about it for a moment and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" And that's kind of our experience in life, right? Like, yeah, God, I trust you, but I just want to do things my way. Like, yeah, Jesus, take the wheel. As long as you don't steer it somewhere I don't want to go, right? Somewhere I'm uncomfortable. Like, I'll take the wheel back from you. So what does it really mean to trust the Lord? What does this really mean? To trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It's to believe that God knows what's best for you. It's to believe that his ways are better than your ways. It's to believe that he knows what's better for you, even better than you know for yourself. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's your creator. He knows you from the inside out, because so many times in life, we think we know what's best. We think we know the right way. We think we know to navigate, the best way to navigate the situation, to handle the problem, to handle that person. But to trust in the Lord with all of your heart is to get to this place and say, God, I believe that your ways are better than my ways. I believe that, God, you you know what's best. God, I want my will to line up with your will. God, I want to have your, like, I want your desires to be in the middle of everything that I do. God, you know, as we look at life, as we navigate life, God, I look at this situation, and in my way, it seems like this is the opportunity for me to get even. But I know that your word says that as we forgive and we bless, we live a better life. We're more healthy in our soul. So God, I choose to trust in your way. God, I know that that the wisdom of this world says get everything you can, right? Live your best life. Make it all about you. Make a lot of money and live for you. But God, I see the wisdom of your word says that a generous heart is the kind of heart you can bless. That when you have a generous heart, you're the kind of person that that blessing can flow into you and overflow to somebody else. God, I choose to trust you in that. I choose to trust that your way is better. Lord, the way that I know love is to put conditions on it. I love the kind of people who love me back. I love people who can do something for me. But I read the wisdom of your word says that you love unconditionally. God, I choose to trust that your way is better than mine. Are you following me this morning, church? God, I choose to trust your ways. I choose to trust you. It's kind of like parents with kids. We get frustrated sometimes as parents because sometimes our kids really don't believe that we know what's best. They think that at 7 years old, they've been on the planet. And all of a sudden they have this, they know what's best for themselves. And they're going to eat chocolate for breakfast every day because that seems, you know, that seems like the best thing. And I think we have to trust that our Heavenly Father, he loves us. He knows what's best for us. And so to trust him with all of our hearts is to choose to believe that he knows what's best for us. And then the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, goes on to say this in verse 6, not only to trust him with your whole heart, but and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. Now, what does that mean? You say, you know, Pastor, am I supposed to turn off, like, you know, my common sense, you know, my God-given brain? No, you can use your God-given brain that he gave you. You can use the wisdom and the knowledge that you've acquired. But the warning here is to do so cautiously, not to put all of your weight on your own understanding. I want to give you two reasons why you can't lean too heavily on your own understanding. I want you to write these down. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets, or take out your phone and put this in the Redemption app. There's a spot where you can put notes on the app. Two reasons why you can't lean too heavily on your own understanding. Here's the first one. Number one, first of all, your perspective is limited. How many of you have found that to be true? Just humble people in the room, that your perspective is limited. You know, the more I learn, the more I study, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know a whole lot. There's a lot more to learn. See, I'm committed to lifelong learning. I'm a student of life, a student of God's word. I think you're here this morning because you want the same thing, right? Like, this is a church for people who want to grow. This is a church for people who want to learn, for people who want to get better at life with God's help. And so the longer we live life, there's this sense that, man, my perspective is limited. The more I dialogue with people over issues like politics or theology or religion, like the more I realize that I have one perspective, but other people have a different perspective. And I get better when I learn from someone else's perspective. Don't we want to be around people like that? I think we would get along better as a nation if people would just come to this humble place of realizing I've lived my whole life with a limited perspective. And it doesn't mean that everybody who thinks differently than me is a villain. It just means they have a different perspective. How many of you think we would get along better as human beings in this nation if we would just get a little more humble? And that's this idea. You know, people I look up to, wise people, even learned people, they're the kind of people who don't rely too heavily on their own wisdom because they recognize that their wisdom is limited. And even though they're a wise person, they're always looking to sharpen their perspective. Here's the second thing, second reason why you can't lean too heavily on your own understanding. Second of all, sometimes you can't fully trust your own motives. Now, first of all, we don't trust other people's motives, that's for sure, in this culture. But the reality is, if you were really honest with yourself, you can't even fully trust your own motives. Wise is the person who doesn't even fully trust themselves. Now, I'm not talking about being confused, being schizophrenic, being all over the place. I'm just talking about wise is the person who recognizes that sometimes your motives are flawed. See, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and we really believe what the Bible says, the inspired word of God, it tells a story of creation and it talks about the fall of humanity and this sinful condition that we find ourselves in. If we really believe the gospel that all of us were born into sin and we needed a savior, then the reality is there is a sinful nature in you that's at work that clouds your judgment at times. Can we be honest? That causes you to make some bad decisions sometimes. Now listen, we're works in progress. We're being redeemed. The gospel's powerful. I believe there's a new nature in you. But let's be real. We battle with the sinful nature that clouds our judgment at times, doesn't it? clouds our judgment. And so wise is the person who doesn't fully trust their own motives. Wise is the person who says, this situation is too big for me. This temptation is too big for me. This situation with this person, I'm not going to entrust this to myself. No, I'm going to get my nose into the Word of God. I'm going to get some other Christians, some other believers around me to help guide me through this, because I don't even trust my own motives in this situation. Can I give you an example? Because some of y'all are staring at me like, what does that mean? Let me give you an example. A couple years ago, I had a friend who was going through a divorce, and he didn't want this divorce. In fact, he wanted to work things out. He was committed to reconciliation, but his wife was focused on getting a divorce. And anyway, things got bad. I wish I could say that, you know, they both took the high road, but honestly, she started taking the low road, and she started really hitting him where it hurts and over the finances and the kids and all that stuff, right? It wasn't becoming an amicable situation, let's put it this way. And this friend of mine, he came to a group of friends. Here's what happened. In the midst of it, he recognized he couldn't trust his own motives. He recognized that his temptation was to play dirty. His temptation was to hit her back as hard as she was hitting him. And so here's what he decided. He went to a group of friends. He did a very wise thing. A group of friends who were believers, a group of men of God. And he said, guys, I don't even trust myself in this situation. I don't trust myself in this situation. I want to honor God. I don't want to come out of this bitter. I don't want to be so broken. I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to just have retribution on her. And I'm asking you guys to pray for me and help me. He did a very wise thing. And a group of men, godly men, prayed for him. We met with him on a regular basis. We prayed for him and we helped him make wise decisions. And when she took the low road, we took the high road. And you know, we loved her too, because she's a friend of ours. We prayed for her, but we helped him. We looked after his heart. Can I tell you that I watched God do a transformation in his life during that process? During one of the most difficult seasons of life. I wish I could tell you everything got easy on the other end. It didn't, but I can tell you what happened for him. He went through a heart transformation. He said, God, I'm not gonna completely trust. I'm not gonna lean on my own understanding. I'm gonna trust you, God, because I don't even trust my motives in this situation. Can I tell you that I watched God do a work in his life, and he came out on the other side more dependent on God, more a person of grace, more whole. He came out better, not bitter. In fact, he's getting remarried in just a few months, and I watched God do an amazing work in his life, because he didn't even trust his own motives. And so Solomon says this, lean not unto your own understanding, because you know what the wisdom of the world is, right? If they hit you, hit back harder, right? If they lawyer up, you lawyer up even harder. If they come at you, you hit them back with everything you... That's the prevailing wisdom of this world. That's why we cannot lean on our own understanding. And then the writer of Proverbs says this, verse 6, in all your ways, submit to him. Some translations say, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Here's the idea. In everything I do, God, I submit to your will. God, in everything I do, I want my will to be submitted to your will. I want my heart to be submitted to your heart. I want to hear your voice. God, I want to remember you. I want to remember you in everything that I'm doing in life. See, this Christian life is holistic. We talked about this a few weeks back, right? That we have this tendency to compartmentalize our lives. You know, there's my spiritual life. There's my, you know, there's my relationships, and there's my financial life. There's my physical life. But no, here's the reality. The Christian life, it's a way. It's the early followers of Jesus. They were called followers of the way. This is holistic. Remember the great commandment. Jesus said, this is the goal of our life. God, to love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is what it is to acknowledge God and to submit all of your ways to him. And here's the results of living this way. Solomon says, here's the results, verse 6, and he will make your paths straight. Some versions say, and he will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. So it's as I trust in God with everything, if I trust him with all of my heart, I truly put my faith in his ways above my ways. As I lean not on my own understanding, but I lean into God's understanding for my life. As I submit all of my ways to him, the results of this blessing of he will direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. Rather than being on a crooked path, rather than being on a winding path that's leading you all over the place, he will direct your path. He'll lead you on the path of righteousness. I would say this, the wisdom of God, it's like signposts along the road. It's like guardrails. Don't we need guardrails? Don't we need signs? You know, you think about the throughway. You think about all these parkways we have around here with these little, you know, short exit and on-ramps that we have, right? They're dangerous sometimes. Thank God for the signs that remind us to slow down. Every now and then you see the skid marks, right? Because somebody was reminded to slam on the brakes and slow down. Or you'll see a mark where somebody hit a guardrail. It was bad that they hit a guardrail, but thank God for the guardrail that kept them from going off the edge. And that's what the word of God is for us. That's what the wisdom of God is in our life. It's a guardrail. It says, hey, by the way, you're letting this person into your life who's really not a good influence over, you know, who's not a good influence in your life. You might want to pump the brakes right here. Hey, you know, you're rushing off into this decision and you haven't really thought it out. You haven't really prayed about it. You haven't really gotten some good godly counsel in your life. You might want to be careful. You might want to pump the brakes. Just, you know, there's a sign there saying, slow down, be careful. Be careful what you allow to come into your heart. Be careful what you're entertaining in your mind. You know, you've kind of let this new habit into your life. You know, you've kind of begun to harbor this negative thinking in your, like, be careful, pump the brakes, slow down. That's what wisdom does for us. That's what wisdom does. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to prayer walk. I can't sit still and pray or I'll fall asleep. Does that happen to anybody? It happens to me too. I like to pace. I like to move. And so I go out on trails and I hike and I prayer walk. And one of my favorite places to prayer walk before I moved when we lived in Harrison was to go over to the Marshlands Conservancy in Rye and prayer walk. There's some great trails out there. And usually you can kind of be alone and not be bothered. So I'm out there, you know, prayer walking, praying on a regular basis. People probably walk by and think, what's wrong with that guy? He's crazy. He's out there walking the trails, talking to himself out loud, talking to the squirrels and the birds. What's wrong with that dude? And I'm like, leave me alone. Me and the squirrels and the birds, we're talking to Jesus. Just mind your own business. I'm out here praying. If I'm babbling out loud, that's my problem, not yours. But I'm that crazy guy out on the trails, prayer walking, you know, praying. And you can see there's a, you know, very well-marked path there. And if any of you guys have ever hiked there, you've probably seen that bridge. But some of the trails aren't so well-marked. And what I found is sometimes when I'm, you know, really focused on my prayers or meditating or thinking, I can be walking those trails and I'll end up drifting onto a trail I didn't mean to go on. Like I kind of had my little set course that I like to pray and walk. But every now and then I could easily drift off onto another trail without realizing it, that I'd have to double back and get back on the trail. And here's the thing I've discovered. The scary thing is how easily we can drift off of the path. Like in life, in our life with God, how easily we can drift. The thing is, this can happen to us without even realizing it. How easily we can allow an offense. Somebody did something to us. Somebody hurt us. How easily we can allow that offense to get lodged in our hearts and it becomes bitterness. How easily we can allow some negative thought, some simple thought to come into our mind and it stays there and our thinking gets messed up. How easily our hearts can drift. How many things are competing? You know, we're supposed to love God with everything we have, but how easily we can begin to love something else more than we can love God. How easily we can get obsessed with just making money and achieving status. How easily our hearts can drift without even realizing it. And here's the thing, when you get off one little degree in your trajectory, you can end up somewhere you never planned on ending up. Isn't that true? Here's the thing, when you get off one degree on your trajectory, at first you don't even notice it, do you? You don't even notice it until you end up drifting somewhere and you get to a place where you never thought you would get. The writers of Proverbs put it this way, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? You know what's such a wake-up call about that verse? Is that the way even appeared to be right. In old school translation is there's a way that appears right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, you and me, we all know people. How many of you know somebody who made a decision, took a certain course of action with their life, and they thought they were doing the right thing, and you tried to talk sense into them, and your other friends tried to tell them don't do that, and people tried to advise them, but they were convinced they were doing the right thing, and in the end, their path led to a path like where their life just got blown up. We all know that. We've all experienced that, right? And it was a way that seemed right to a person. They looked at that affair and they thought, well, you know, I'm not happy in my marriage and this affair, I can have this and I can have my marriage too at the same time. And they never meant to lose everything in the process, but it came back to haunt them. They looked at this business proposition and it seemed so right. This is an opportunity to get rich really quick. How many of you have learned? Beware of getting rich really quick, right? It doesn't always work out. Yeah, invest in this, right? Give me $10 million and I'll help you invest it. Give me $10,000 into Bitcoin, whatever. Like, I'll invest it for you. Like, you made a decision really quick and people were like, you might want to slow down on that. But there was a way that seemed right to that person. There was a way that seemed right to that person. We make these decisions so quickly and we end up in this place where we never meant to end up. It happens every day. It seems like every day on the news, there's some story of some celebrity who has everything in life that we all thought would be the greatest thing. They had wealth, they had fame, they had a supermodel spouse. And yet, they made decisions. They were so locked into what seemed like a good decision that it led to a place of death and destruction. You might find yourself in an opportunity to get back at somebody who hurt you, and you've got them right where you want them. Oh, you've got them right where you, and you could stick it back to them. And wouldn't it feel good? Come on, it's all right to be honest in church. Wouldn't it feel good to give it back to them for what they did to you? But what you can't see is down the line what's going to happen because you did that. You can't see all of the scenarios. And in the end, it comes back and it blows up in your face. See, there is a way that appears to be right to us, to our limited human perspective, to our limited human knowledge. But in the end, it leads to death. And so here's the thing. The problem is our natural tendency is to trust in our way, our thinking, our way of doing things, because it's worked for us in life. But every now and then, you're going to come to a humble place where some of the decisions you make when you only rely on yourself, they're going to get you into a place where you become utterly dependent on God because your decisions have brought you to a place where things have blown up in your face. And some of you, you have humility. You've lived a little bit of life. You've been through a situation like that where you learn, man, I have to be dependent on God. I have to be dependent on Him. And so here's the good news this morning, church. I don't want anybody to leave here this morning in fear, like, oh my gosh, am I going to mess up my life this year? Oh my gosh, I think I'm doing the right thing, but Pastor told me I'm probably going to screw my whole life up. What am I going to do? No. Here's the thing. When you tap into the Word of God, you access the wisdom of God. And when you access the wisdom of God, you have the perspective of God. Are you with me? He's looking out for you. He's breathed His Word into Scripture for us. You have the perspective of God guiding you. His ways are above your ways. His thoughts are above your thoughts. His knowledge is beyond your knowledge. His wisdom isn't contained by earthly wisdom. When you tap into the wisdom of God, you tap into His perspective. It's like getting on a plane and taking off, and all of a sudden you can see things. You can look down below and you see things in a different way you never saw them before. That's what happens when we commit ourselves to a life of wisdom, when we pursue a life built on the wisdom of God. And so if it's true that decisions determine direction and direction determines destination, then we better seek God's wisdom for our decisions. Because you and me, we got some decisions to make this year, don't we? Some of you right now at the beginning of this new year, you're at a place in life where you have to make some decisions about your career path, about a job opportunity, where you're going to live, a financial decision, a decision about a relationship. There's decisions. Every one of us, we're going to make decisions this year, aren't we? Think about all the possibilities that lay before us at the beginning of this year. Like you and me, we don't even know the situations we're going to face, good and bad. We don't even know the little crises and emergencies and the decisions we're going to have to make throughout the course of this year. And so our prayer today is, God, we want to pursue Your wisdom. God, we want to build a life that's built on a strong foundation of Your wisdom. God, we want Your wisdom guiding us. Come on, church, we're going to commit to pursuing the wisdom of God. God, I want Your wisdom influencing my decisions because I recognize that my decisions set my direction, and my direction ultimately determines my destination. God, I've got a picture in my mind. Let's pray, first of all. Let's pray, God, give us a picture of the destination that You would have for us. God, I want my will to line up with Your will. I want to end up in a place where You want me to be. I want Your blessing. I want to live in harmony with Your principles, Your ways. Now, God, I'm going to pursue wisdom. This is why we're going to practice those disciplines. Come on, let's double down on fasting for the next 2 weeks. Let's double down on being intentional about setting aside some time for prayer. Let's get in the habit of meditating on God's Word daily. Come on, let's do this at the beginning of this new year so that all throughout this new year, we're stronger, we're better prepared, we can make better decisions. You know, I said last week, I wish I could tell you that this year, you know, you'll face a certain difficult decision and you'll just be able to open the book of Proverbs and look up what to do and there'll be a scripture there. I wish I could tell you it works that way. It doesn't work that way, but it's better than that. Because you know what the wisdom of God does? It trains your mind in discernment so that you can make the right decision, the God-honoring decision in any situation you face. And so this year, we're going to exercise our discernment muscles. Come on. Some of you going back to the gym this year, you're going to get back in shape. You're going to look amazing this summer. We can't wait to see you. You're going to be awesome. It's going to be impressive. But can I just encourage you, put some effort into shaping up your discernment this year. God, I'm going to get in Your Word. I'm going to train my mind in Your wisdom so that I can be a person of discernment. I can be a person of wisdom, a person who walks with You and can make a godly decision no matter what life throws at me this year. Don't you want that this year? Come on, if you want that, stand with me this morning. We're going to pray into that. And here's our prayer. We're going to take this proverb and we're going to make it our prayer this morning. Oh God, I want to trust in you with all of my heart. God, to trust in you with all of my heart and lean not on my own understanding. God, I'm not going to put all my weight on my understanding. In all of my ways, I want to acknowledge you, knowing that you will direct my paths. That's our prayer today. And we're going to pray a prayer of commitment. I want to invite you. Would you pray a prayer of commitment in your heart? And we're going to turn our path over to the Lord. God, I want you directing my path. God, I want your will above my will. God, this year, I give you the keys. Jesus, you take the wheel. Lord, you lead me. You guide me. God, I'm going to do the disciplines. I'm going to pray. I'm going to cultivate my soul. I'm going to meditate on your word. We're going to do the fast. But God, I give the direction to my life over to you because I believe that you know what's best for me better than I even know myself. Come on, let's pray into this. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your wisdom. God, I thank you for the promise of scripture that says if we ask for wisdom, you will give it to us. That's your heart's desire. Lord, today, we want to be people. People who pursue your wisdom. God, our prayer today is that you would direct our paths. And so, Lord, we choose to trust in you with all of our hearts, God, with all of our hearts, to truly trust that your way is better than our way. God, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're not going to put all of our weight there, God. We're going to trust that your ways are higher than our ways, God. Lord, in everything we do this year, we want to submit to you, submit all of our ways to you, and everything we do, acknowledge you, God. Remember you. And whenever our will doesn't line up with your will, God, we choose your will. Come on, somebody needs to pray that today. God, I choose your will. When our life and our ways doesn't line up with what you would have for us, God, we choose your ways above ours, and we choose to believe that you will direct our path. God, we turn the keys over to you. We give our lives to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom to make the course corrections we need to make at the beginning of this year so we can end up in the place that you've determined for us. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of walking with you where we can hear your voice, where we can know you. Father, do it for each person in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.